Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, December 11th. I'm Ray Graff, Pets and Vets Today, and joining us in the studio, Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland at Saratoga Springs, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. If you have a question about your dog or your cat, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. If you want, you can email us at voxpopwamc.org. Try to be as specific as you can without going too long, because we can't do follow-up questions on an email. The number again, though, is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, and your pet questions coming up on Vox Pop Pets and Vets after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets Today. Here to take your calls are Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland at Saratoga Springs and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Often called the Cat Whisperer, Dr. Sekuli is a veterinarian who has been specializing in feline care for more than 24 years. She focuses on the entire cat's health, from kitten to senior cats, addressing behavior and nutrition while providing medical and surgical care. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, and nutrition counseling. It is always a pleasure to have these two on the program. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. 348-2551. You can email us if you wish at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Happy holidays to you both.
Thank you, Ray.
I guess kind of a bummer for you, though, Susan.
Yes, I wanted to share. I had a almost 18-year-old Tonkinese cat that we lost last night. And one of my dear coworkers had been at our clinic since she was about 2 years of age, and was the clinic cat along with my favorite of cats. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but Justy, who was there when I opened. And this Tonkinese cricket was just an amazing cat. Mm-hmm. And I guess I wanted to start this opening today, and thank you for this opportunity, Ray, to share that I feel honored that we are allowed as a community and as a society to really grieve our pets when we lose them, and be allowed to express that sorrow, because they truly do affect our lives
in such great ways.
Mm-hmm. And then to be able to share it, I went to their house to let her go. And then we sat around afterwards and sort of just talked about her and reminisced. And it was in so many ways a similar ritual as what we do for people in that mm-hmm. wake or you know, just the area of sharing. And it was so touching for all of us. Yeah. So thank you for letting me
well
share
said.
That.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, one thing about an animal, a pet, it's simpler to some extent. There are less things to dislike about a pet than a human most times. So
right?
it can be tough to get over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not everybody has the support too.
I
do think that there are still some people who are not as compassionate about it. They don't necessarily understand that bond. And you know, it's hard to say I need to take the week off from work because my dog died or my cat died. And fortunately, there are support groups out there now, and even some bereavement counseling that's offered in the area. So people should avail themselves of that.
I think it's tougher this time of the year too. For some reason, the same with people and losing their loved ones. There's something about the holidays that you miss them more.
Yeah, sorry about cricket.
Well, yes, and I guess the only thing we can do now is be in a better mood for the rest of
thank
the show.
Thank you, yes.
But that was well said, and thank you, Dr. Sekuli. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We start out with John and Rensselaer. John, you're up.
Yes. Just to throw out a little quick thing in line with what you were just saying. Anyone can get through grief, but those that that habit. So, yeah. But anyway, that was from Shakespeare, by the way.
Very well done.
Thank you.
I know where you're coming from because we went through it.
Yes.
So,
we can relate.
But we have currently an 8-month-old kid. He is, well, we got him as a rescue from friends when he was 4 months. He was wandering on the street.
Hello?
Yes. Oh, and he had puncture wounds in his face. He had been bitten on the face. The one side went right to his lip, and he's got, like, looks like a little cleft lip there. And then the other side went right through his right nostril. That healed, but it healed with a restriction in his breathing on that side. And also, I think it's about halfway up that side of his nose. I'm thinking that also it damaged his tear duct draining into his nose because that eye tends to water, tends to collect water in the lower part of the lid. But I'm just wondering, and what we've been doing, actually, he gets congested, like sounding. Through the day and night. So we put a tiny, tiny bit of Vicks on his end of his nose, and that seems to free him up. And also that has given us an ophthalmic steroid, ophthalmic ointment that we put a little in his eyes, actually, both eyes. That also seems to add to the relief that he has, that he gets.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering how to go about, you know, to deal with in the long term. I thought that maybe as he grew, the space in there would increase and it would be less of a problem, but it hasn't really changed.
All right, doctors.
Two things. One, be careful on that Vicks on the top, orally, so that he licks on it. I would leave it more as a diffusing kind of thing and not topically. I would worry a little bit about that. And second, I agree. I think I'd give him a little bit more time because he's still pretty young. And so to know how much he's going to his good nostril may expand and give him enough ability to breathe might be okay. And he could have even had, you know, upper respiratory infection that could be triggering these tearing. And you think it's more from the trauma.
If we don't do anything, it's just kind of constant. When he's, you know, when he's active and not breathing just slowly, it just congests right up. He shows no other signs. He's been tested. He's negative for everything. But the puncture wound was right through that side of his nose.
Wow. He was one lucky kitty.
He was pushed in.
Yeah.
What is it?
One lucky kitty, really.
Yeah. Well, but I tell you, that Vicks on the tip of his nose a little bit has worked for so many people that we've talked to, and it frees him right up.
Are you all right with that, doctor?
Yeah, okay.
All right, John.
I guess I will.
Thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Carol in Greenwich. Carol, you're up.
Hello there, Ray.
Hello.
Hello, doctors.
Hello.
First of all, I want to say I'm sorry for the loss of your friend of 18 years. I know what that's like.
Thank you.
And I do have a cat question. So, in watching my cat's behavior recently, I want to know if I'm perceiving correctly. When I give her something or offer her something on the end of my finger that I think that she would like whipped cream or gravy, she sniffs at it, pulls back, and then licks the end of her nose. Is the sniffing drawing the flavor onto her nose and then she's tasting it?
Oh, go figure.
So say that again. She sniffs it while it's on your finger, and then what does she do?
She pulls back and licks her nose. Now, if I put something on my finger that I think she won't like, she doesn't. You know, she'll sniff it and just pull back. But I see. I'm almost wondering if they draw the scent onto their nose and then lick it to taste it.
I don't know about that. I have seen a cat smell something and open their mouth, and draw air in through their mouth. And I've often wondered if they were sort of pulling the scent in more that way. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't really a licking with that. I wonder if it's making her salivate. So if it's something that she likes, I wonder if there's like a salivation and then she licks her lips.
Huh.
But
I don't know.
Fascinating.
I do not know.
Well, you've stumped the band, Carol. Well done.
All right. Well, I'll keep watching and observing. Thank you. Thank you very much, doctors. Thank you,
thank
Ray.
You.
That sounds like YouTube gold. So just remember, that you can monetize this. Carol, thank you for the call.
That's true.
All right. Well, you say one more before the next break. 800-348-2551. Tracy in Rotterdam. Tracy.
Yes. Hi there. Hi, Ray. Hi, doctors.
Hello.
Dr. Sekouli, I remember your Justy and Cricket, and so I'm so sorry about your loss. I just want to do a shout-out for Dr. Sekouli. She also kept my cats, Toby and Greta, going until their late teens. So she's just a remarkable vet, and we love her. I didn't have any cats for a while after my two old guys left, but now I have a couple of kittens again. And I actually am retiring and moving to North Carolina. And I'm wondering, even though the kittens will be indoors, I wanted to build one of the catio outdoor spaces for them. And I'm wondering if I will have to put them on heartworm medication when I move to North Carolina. That's my question.
Why? Why would you have to do
well,
that?
Because you don't get freezes. You don't get freezes down there the way we do here.
Oh.
And heartworm is much more prevalent in the South.
Ah, okay.
Yes, you are very smart in being both prepared for that, and there are some great products out now that are very good preventatives. Unlike in dogs where you have to test them first for heartworm, you can just start cats on the heartworm prevention. So good luck with your move, and hope all goes well with
there. Yeah, I'm actually going to be a caretaker at a parrot sanctuary, so I'm involved with the
That's neat.
I'm excited.
Great.
But the kitties are going with me, and I have to make sure that they're safe. So Dr. Sekouli, if I were to call the office, would they be able to give me some names of different meds?
Absolutely.
I don't want to put you on the spot on the air.
Yeah, that'd be great. Absolutely.
And don't forget,
Tracy,
keep the cats away from the parrots. And then two, you can listen online when you're down there. So keep listening. And thank you very much for the call. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekouli, Dr. Chris Dallas, Pets and Vets. We'll be back. Vox Pop, Pets and Vets today. Dr. Susan Sekouli, Dr. Chris Dallas with us. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is the number. And, I hit all right. You know what? It's not the wrong button. It's just a little early. Hello, Joe and Red Hook. You're up.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. How are you?
All right. Thanks for taking my call. I have a 6-year-old Italian Mastiff, and she's been fine. But the last few months, she's had a lot of, she's been itching a lot and around her base of her tail and a couple spots on her back. She's developed, loss of her fur, and she's itching. And when I touch her back, it's almost like her skin crawls and her leg comes up to start itching. I gave her salmon oil, and I've been putting bag balm on the spot. Is there anything else that I could do for her?
Well, my first question would be, do you have her on flea preventative? Because base of the tail is often a flea issue, and if she has a flea allergy...
Yeah, she has a Seresto, and she's always had a Seresto. She's never had fleas.
Okay, and when did you put the Seresto on her?
She's had one on her entire life.
Right, when was the fresh one put on? How long ago?
When she was 3 months old.
Oh, so you're still using the same Seresto collar?
Okay.
So the Seresto collar...
Okay.
Of course I replaced them.
All right. We're having a little tough time with your cellular connection here, but I think we get the gist of the question.
So you have a fresh Seresto collar on her is what I'm asking, because with the time... Okay, great. So, you know, this is, you know, itchiness is a complicated issue in dogs, but some things to consider are potential issues with food. Generally, that's not going to manifest on her back. She could have a seasonal allergy. It's just the distribution is not quite right, and it's an odd, you know, time of year for sure. That's probably worth taking her into your regular vet and having her skin scraped. There are a lot of there are mites that can cause itching that they can pick up, and we've seen an uptick in that particular type of Sarcoptes mite. It's very itchy, so that's something that before you start spending a lot of money on supplements and things, I would actually have her seen so you can make sure that there isn't something there that just needs to be treated.
And that's something that the Seresto wouldn't...
I don't think the Seresto covers that, right?
It doesn't,
no.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh.
Yep.
And what would the salmon oil do?
Well, essential fatty acids can be anti-inflammatory, but if you have...
Topically placed or
no,
just
no.
Well, eating?
Actually, yes, both. Normally, we just have them take an internally. Yeah. There is now a topical essential fatty acid. I have not had experience with it yet, but I have heard that they have found that some dogs do respond to a topical.
And all right,
I think it's a spray.
Dr. Susan Sekulius here and Dr. Chris Dallas. The number is 800-348-2551. Now, Susan in Wells, New York. Susan, you're on.
Hi there. We recently lost a 20-year-old cat, so I do send my condolences. But my question is actually about a Bernese Mountain Dog that we have. Murphy is 8 years old. And we've had two episodes, one in August and one last week, where he just stops barking and instead will squeal a little and yelp a little when he goes to lay down or do something, and he becomes not lethargic, but definitely not as perky as he usually is, and will just lay low for a while. And in August, I took him to our veterinarian, and she wasn't sure what the problem was. He didn't have a fever, and she put him on clindamycin. And around day four, his bark came back. We finished the full course of antibiotics, and he's been his regular self. And then last week, it happened again. And I gave her a call, and he was doing the same thing. He stopped barking, and just every once in a while would give a squeal. And she put him back on the clindamycin and said, of course, if this didn't work, to bring him back in. But around day four again, he did improve and became perky and active. He never lost his eating or anything like that, but he seemed to salivate a little bit more, swallow a little bit more. And I'm just wondering if you might have any idea what could be causing this.
Well,
it's an odd thing.
It is odd. If it responds to clindamycin, it makes me think of dental issues. But I have not known dogs to yelp from dental pain. When I think of yelping, I think of neck pain, a pinched nerve.
Right.
And that's not going to respond to clindamycin.
When you go and palpate the neck, or she did and I have as a nurse, mm-hmm. he doesn't seem to pull away or have any discomfort with that. At his eight-year checkup, not too long ago, they said his dental, at least visually, his mm-hmm. teeth look fine, other than some tartar, but no inflammation of the gums or anything like that.
I can't
And again, he eats his hard kibble, and she wasn't sure either.
His ears? Do his ears get infected ever?
He's never needed to have anything with his ear cleaning. He does get some just externally, you know, if I take like an ear cleaning cloth, he doesn't like anything squirted in. And again, if you press around his ears or pull on the auricle or pull on the ear, it doesn't seem to bother him at all. But he'll get occasionally a little bit of brown discharge in one of his ears. But it doesn't seem to correlate to the times that these two things have happened.
Is he around any other dogs? Anything that could be contagious?
Not really. He's an only.
Okay.
Not anything where he's actively around.
I don't know what would respond to antibiotics like that. And so, you know, we could assume that there's a coincidence and that whatever he has was going to get better in 4 days, and maybe the antibiotics had nothing to do with it. If that's the case, then maybe a pinched nerve still fits there. But a lot of times I do feel like those dogs need like a quick course of prednisone or something to sort of, you know, reduce the inflammation in the nerve. But I Nothing's coming to mind on that
one.
That's...
if it happens again, I'll take him back in. But now the first time I waited, it had happened, and we waited 4 or 5 days before I took him to the vet because he was eating fine. Yep. And so it was 4 or 5 days, and then he went on the clindamycin, and around day 4, it resolved, and we finished the course of antibiotics. This time it happened, say, last Wednesday. I called Thursday morning, and she started the antibiotics that morning, and within 4 days, it improved.
Okay, so I'll put this out to all our fellow veterinarians that might be listening to us.
Yeah,
maybe they could call in and give us some pointers on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe there's
something. There you go. You got us stumped.
Stumped again.
Wow. Well, Susan, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. And Nikki in Wilmington, Vermont. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Ray, and doctors, and I will add my sympathies to the cat, and that's part of my story. I have a one remaining 14-year-old cat who's very healthy, runs around. You'd never think she was 14. I lost the other 14-year-old one about 6 weeks ago. The one that's still alive, Yo-Yo, she has become more vocal in the last few years, just being a little bit noisier. But since my other cat died, she is doing this sort of yowling thing much more frequently. Never right in front of me. She sometimes goes down the basement and does it, or she wakes me up in the middle of the night, and it's sort of a wow, wow, wow. And the other night she was doing it, I called her name, she ran up the stairs, jumped on the bed, and never made another noise.
Yeah.
Do you think it's related to the death of
I
the other
sure
cat?
Do.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's such a bond between them, and I saw that even with my own cat when we had lost one, and then the other one became much more vocal. I think the first one didn't allow the second one to talk as much.
Oh.
There was dynamics in there. And then this time, though, I think you're, and I'm sorry to of your loss too, but I do think there was some either looking for the cat that is no longer there, or being more, I don't know, there's the spiritual part to all this where's that energy in the house? So
there is, I have clients who use Bach flower remedies, which are, I have to say, they're not something that have really wowed me too much, but some of my clients have sworn by them. And there's a Bach flowers are a type of remedy that are used for emotional disruptions. And if you go to like a health food store or the co-op in Albany or you're up in Vermont. Go to like a place that has like homeopathy and that type of thing and look at the Bach flowers. There is one remedy. I think it's Star of Bethlehem that's for grief and loss. So something to try.
Well, the interesting thing is this, that the one that's alive, was definitely the dominant cat. I mean, she would beat up on the other one all the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a love relationship. I think it was more entertainment. I am trying to play with her more, and she's definitely more cuddly than she was before.
Mm.
But I was wondering, 6 weeks seemed like it was getting kind of long
the obvious things, the hyperthyroid cats, that's probably the one thing, or hypertension. Those two are the yowling cats for me to worry about.
Thank you for the call, Nikki. True story. We took the family on vacation for a week, and the neighbor next door, the guy across the street, was watching the cat. We get a text a few days in, and our cat was on the front lawn just yowling, just like that, looking for us, waiting for us to come home.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfectly fine otherwise. All right, let's go to Cindy in East Hampton. Cindy, you're up.
Hi. Thank you so much for starting your show with you having to bury your cat. Mm. Are you there?
Yes, absolutely. You're welcome.
I had to say goodbye to my 19-year-old cat yesterday, and it wasn't something that I planned on.
No.
And she was so active last week. Like she even fetched. She would run after her balls, and she would find them behind furniture, and she would play, and she was still jumping yesterday morning. But I had two long days on Saturday and Sunday where I wasn't here, and I feel like when I came back, she was worse. And I was afraid that the stress of me being gone for such a long time, because I'm usually home like midday, if I could have killed her, which I know sounds.
Wow, don't blame yourself. Kind of,
I hear the guilt of that, and we all go through it. If there's one more thing we could have done, and in fact, Dan, he said it, I should have brought her in sooner, right? And I said, no, it wouldn't have changed anything.
19
so
years old.
That's right. Honor the wonderful care you took of her for those 19 years.
She was an orange tabby, and is it true that there's not a lot of female orange tabbies?
Right, that's correct.
Why?
They're the color.
Yeah, why?
The color is sex-linked.
Yeah.
Yep.
So females need two copies of the gene. Females need two copies of the gene, and males just need one. Like color blindness in humans, it's the same.
How about that?
Oh, neat.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So she was a special cat.
You know, Cindy, I don't know if this will help you at all, but in Chinese medicine, they really believe that if you live a balanced life and your body is balanced, you will just die one day. There will be no warning, and it just sort of happens. And I've seen this in my patients who are getting a lot of acupuncture. They are doing so well, we don't even see it coming, and it's very jarring to owners. And I do kind of warn people when they have an older pet that could happen. And so there's an expression that they say, like, live well and die, and there really shouldn't be anything in between. So it's as jarring as it is, it is definitely a blessing, and it's a sign that she was very, very balanced. So
Yeah, she must have been. I mean, like just yesterday, I made the decision yesterday because she wouldn't get out of a crouched position. She would just lay like that, and then her head would just drop into the surface.
Yeah.
And when she picked her head up, she had all this drool, and it was kind of pink. So I was thinking she had an abscess. So I don't know. It could have been a mixture of things. But she was my only cat I've ever had.
First one's always the hardest, too.
I'm just, I guess they say it's the final act of kindness.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Well, and if you're still really having a hard time in a few weeks, you know, there are pet loss support groups and what have you. So, a grieving process is good. And then if it gets to be a little too long and hard, then, you know, you can get some help.
Cindy, thank you for the call.
Thank
we appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Susan Sekuli is here. Dr. Chris Dallas is here as well. It's Pets and Vets today. And let's see. Looks like Melina and Ackard, you're up.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I adopted a cat at the age of 6 months from a kill shelter, and she was going to be euthanized the next day. So we pulled her, and in her paperwork, it showed that she was lactating, which to me said that she'd had a litter, which was really alarming as a six-month-old kitten, basically. Kittens weren't with her when she was brought to the shelter, though. Fast forward, we've had her for about seven and a half years. She has laxity in her hip joints, which causes her legs to buckle when she's pushing to eliminate. She also has chronic constipation. And it took some years for us to get to a plateau in a sort of cocktail of treatment for her. And so at this point, we do twice a day Miralax in her food, wet food only, Sisapride twice a day as an ointment into her ear, opposite ears time of day. And, you know, she just lives with us, and she's a really scrappy cat. But there are points where her condition will worsen, and she'll be distended, and she usually will end up passing some plug. But it's really just like, is there a better solution? We know that she verges towards megacolon, and I just wonder if there's some kind of holistic thing or more responsible thing that we can be doing that's going to help her, because, you know, we love her very much.
I must say, I will pass this on to Dr. Dallas, but it is one of my most rewarding conditions to treat with acupuncture is our constipated cats, because it causes the movement and it helps with the arthritis.
Yeah, there's not really much more to say. I mean, that's it. And Dr. Sekuli and I had actually worked on a case many, many years ago of a cat who actually had to be deobstipated, meaning he had to be put under anesthesia.
Yeah, we've had her deobstipated. Oh,
you did.
We know that very well.
Well, this cat came in, what was it, every week for deobstipation.
For a while.
And he had, it was dramatic.
Wow.
And we were amazed, but acupuncture turned him around
a lot. So pursue that, please.
Well, as a part B, I guess, in a sense, she's pretty fractious. I like to not bring her in general because I know how, like, scared or miserable that she becomes. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's something, if I were to bring her in to have her seen, that I could do in that sort of part of the process?
I wonder, I don't know, where are you located? Where is Accord, New York?
Accord.
Where is that?
Right next to Marble Town.
That doesn't help us. I'm
I need a bigger
sure
city.
Yeah. Town is.
What general part of New York is that? Is that Central New York?
Okay, or? So I'm 25 minutes from either Kingston or New Paltz.
Oh, okay, further down.
Okay, I wonder if there's somebody down there who could do a house call for you. Because acupuncture can be done at home.
Wonderful.
And
great
idea. I just don't know. You might look around down there and see, because that would be a long drive to come up to, you know, let's say
right,
Gilderland.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah, that's too
well,
far.
I can start Googling that and see what comes up.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Do that.
Now, you had to put this particular patient under to do acupuncture?
Yes.
It was that,
we
was
did.
A, that rough of an acupuncture session?
No, he was...
Just freaked out?
Fractious.
Yes.
Fractious.
Fractious meaning...
He would take your face off. No,
oh,
I mean, he was extremely aggressive.
Really?
Yeah.
And Dr. Ciculli, I mean, when did you become a convert to acupuncture?
That's when Dr. Dowis and I met. We took the acupuncture class.
2004.
So that's 15 years ago. It was, and I think it was that constant, I can't get all these cases done medically.
Yeah.
Help me in doing that integrative portion.
Yeah. And you've seen success.
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. It's Pets and Vets today. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets with Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. And the phone lines are loaded, so let's move it along here. Elizabeth in Montague, Mass. Elizabeth, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So sorry to hear about your beloved pet.
Thank you.
Anyway, I have a calico that rescued me from our local animal shelter.
Great way of putting it.
Well, she really did. Anyway, she is an amazing cat, most are. She has feline aches, but it's not active, and she's very healthy. But she loves to put her head into the cushion of the chair, couch cushion, not when she's on a chair. Like, she's pushing the cushion so hard. And when I disturb her, she looks up like, I'm fine. I'm fine. What are you doing? I was just wondering what this was about.
That's a good
and
question.
Then she sneezes. I'm thinking maybe she's getting dust in her nose or something.
Well, maybe
it's
she's very, trying to
I've
rub
never,
her
I've
face.
I've had many cats in my life, and this is the only one that does the mashing of the head. So I was wondering... You know, is this a symptom of something?
He's going to stump us again?
This is great. These two look perplexed. What a show.
It's the funniest thing. And I volunteer at the shelter, and I've asked them. They said, well, she is Darla. And I go, yes, and she's originally from New Jersey. And then all these stereotypes.
That's
I go, no. But she just, and she does it every day on the couch.
Oh, funny.
And every evening she does it for about an hour or so. I'll go in, and there she is again, mashing her head into the cushion.
Oh, is she sleeping or is she just...
Oh, she's sleeping.
She is sleeping.
Okay. So she just prefers that. Yeah. There are some cats that just love being, you know, under the covers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tunneling
and some don't. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
The ones that don't are like, oh, no, that's not safe for me, right?
Yeah.
I have to be up above and
watch. Do you have any, like, throw blankets on the couch at all?
Well, she used to sleep at the foot of my bed with one paw grasping the mattress like it was going to be taken away from her. She was an abused cat. So I'm always very careful around her if we do any sudden movement. Sometimes
don't
she's like,
fast.
Okay, what are you doing to me now? And it's you're over there, we're over here.
Yep,
right.
And she used to like wrapping herself in a quilt all the way around. So when she had to get out, it was like a tanglement for her.
That's what I was thinking, is if you gave her a blanket, I wonder if she would just cuddle up into it, and maybe that's what she's trying to do with the cushions of the couch. That's all I can think of.
Well, she's a spoiled calico, so she's got a couple of blankets.
Yeah.
But, like, in the wintertime, if they don't smell right, she doesn't go there.
Yes.
And it's like,
yep.
She's a calico. Everybody keeps saying, she's a prima donna. But it's the mashing that gets me. I wonder if it's good for her neck or... She doesn't seem to be in pain, so...
Yeah, I think that's just a habit she's developed, and it gives her comfort, and I would
let her
do it. Yep.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you very much for the call. Now let's go to Johnny in Chatham. Hello, Johnny.
Hello. Thank you, Ray, and my sympathies to the doctor on her loss.
Thank you.
I got, actually, a few answers from previous callers, because I just had I just lost a cat recently, but my original cat, 17 going on 18, actually 18 going on 19, I'm sorry.
Mm.
She's a calico. She's an old lady. She's been here for many years. But all of a sudden, she's losing her appetite completely, and I'm going to have to take a second mortgage on my own to buy food for her.
Yeah.
Mm. I try every possible food, and she just will take a leak or two and then leave it there until it goes bone dry. I have a mix of, I give her a little bit of dry food, which she nibbles it occasionally. And but mostly I've been trying to feed her good quality wet food. But right now, for the past week or two, she is really not eating much. Other than that, she has arthritis. We're having a race who's going to – I'm 77. She's 18, so we're having a race who's going to kick the bucket. but I want to be the first one to go, so I want to win the race.
Okay.
Is there anything that you can suggest, or is possibly some particular food I should try, or should I give up and go and see a vet?
I always say at that age, when they stop eating, go see a vet. I just saw a kitty cat today that has lost an appetite, and her kidney levels were very, very high. And to be honest, I would never have predicted it looking at her how high those levels were.
Yeah.
So unless you have blood work to confirm, if you got all the blood work and it all looks normal, then there's a whole different story in how to get them to eat. But I would make sure it's not the kidneys or...
I have a confession to make. I don't go to a doctor unless I'm about to die, and Mango has been to a vet once in her lifetime.
Well, this could be her second time.
but because we both, unfortunately, we are fairly healthy.
Yeah. Yes.
We are getting old.
I admit I'm not a frequenter at the doctor myself, so I hear you.
Yep.
However, there are times when you do, and I think now is
a good time to check it out.
Good luck with her.
I fear that that will be the answer, but thank you. And
you're
again, my sympathies for on your loss.
Thank you.
Johnny, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Pets and Vets. And let's go to Rob in Camisha Lake. Rob.
Yes. Let me just take you off a speaker.
Great.
I have a 16-week-old Rottweiler. I've had him since eight weeks. This isn't my first. I've had three others all at the same time. I cannot housebreak this dog. So stubborn.
Sorry, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
Right. I have to laugh, too, because if he wasn't so cute, I think I'd kill him. So he'll go outside, and he'll go pretty much on command, but not number two. Number one, he'll go on command, and then he'll come inside. He's saying,
there
I don't want to be trained. and then he'll come inside and just stand in front of me and just urinate on the floor.
Oh, tremendous.
And is there anything that I'm missing? I haven't had a puppy in 10 years.
Are you? Is he in a crate when he's not?
Crate training.
Crate training. So, and he does it right in front of you. I mean,
he did it right in front of me. Not always.
I tell people that when you're having issues with this, keep them on a leash in the house with you.
Oh.
And just keep taking them out every hour. And it's going to happen.
Someone just told me that yesterday.
Yeah.
Keep them on a leash right next to you.
Yep. Yeah, it's really a great way to bond with your dog, too. I have friends who have raised puppies for Canine Companions for Independence or, you know, Seeing Eye Dogs. And that's one of the instructions they give the puppy raisers is, you know, the puppy, you literally just tie the leash to your belt and they stay with you at all times. And I did that with my own dog when I was in vet school. And it really, she was house trained in like 4 or 5 days.
Huh.
Yeah. And trained in other ways too, because it made me keep doing the training for everything, whether it was sit, come, stay, whatever. So that would be my advice, because it really ultimately comes down to surface preference. So you just have to keep stopping him. If he starts to lift his leg or squat or whatever he does, just, you know, you don't correct it. You just, whoop, let's go, you know, out the door.
Let's go outside.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thanks,
sure.
Robbie.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Dr. Chris Dallas, Dr. Susan Ciculli, and let's go to Sarah in Niskayuna. Sarah, you're on.
Oh, no.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Hello,
same
you
as
well.
Hello, happy holidays. I'm sitting in the parking lot because I didn't want to end this call, and there's a beautiful dog that's looking right at me, in the next aisle. But my question is, we rescued, she was about a year old. We rescued her, and she came from Kentucky. She is a mix. I had to find out her genetics. My husband said she's a mutt. I said, no, I need to know. One parent is Jack Russell and Yorkie. The other parent is Staffordshire and Beagle.
Wow. Wow.
She's wonderful.
Wow.
What does she weigh? Like, how big a dog is she?
She weighs 15 pounds.
Oh, okay.
She thinks she's a cat because she likes to get on the back of the sofa and just, like, perch there.
That's
a
Jack Russell.
That's a Jack Russell.
That's the Jack Russell.
I like the Jack Russell. The Jack Russell. My question is, she could be a fashionista if she wore her sweaters and her little coat, but she doesn't like to wear anything when we go out. She's on a regular routine. She has to get 3 walks a day. I think I'm on her routine.
So yes, she's got you well trained.
Do it regularly. And I'm well trained. I will take her in these cold days. She still wants to do her normal route. Does she need a coat? Does she need something exterior when we go outside?
No, she's fine.
I agree.
Yeah, unless she is stark naked, you know, and has lost all her hair. No.
Or is out for hours and
or
hours.
Or out for hours.
Right?
Yeah, yep. No, she does not need.
Oh, goodness, no, yeah, no. Yeah. But yeah. So not to coat her is okay.
Yes,
then
absolutely.
We'll just, okay, just, yep. take that. Another question I have, too. When we're not home, we crate her when I go to work. I'm not home now. I'm sitting in the parking lot looking at this lovely dog in the next car. But if we're not home because she's been trained pretty well, is it okay if I break her from the crate or just leave the crate door open and let her kind of come and go as she wants? Or?
That's very dog dependent. I don't feel that all dogs need to be in crates, but you may want to use your cell phone as a baby monitor the first few times and just kind of keep an eye on her and see what's going on. You can set up there's some free baby monitor apps, and you can just set up an iPad, let's say, and give her a confined area to start out in.
That's a great idea.
And set up your iPad. You have to have the app on the two devices, so your device is with you, and then there's a device on her. And just kind of keep an eye on her. Maybe stay close by in case she decides to start tearing up your carpet or something. And but, you know, maybe just do small periods of time and restricted areas and then increase from there and see how she does.
Sarah, thank you very much for the call. Let's go down to Sun City, Florida. Carl, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to remind the doctors that the Macrolide family of antibiotics, which is erythromycin, azithromycin, clindamycin, and such, have anti-inflammatory properties.
I was thinking about that when she said that. I just didn't think it was necessarily enough to...
Or as they say on the western side, or the eastern side, it just decreases heat.
Yeah,
so
right,
the same
right.
kind of thing
I
as
know,
antibiotics.
I know.
Good points. Thank
yeah,
you.
It did occur to me, and I was going to get into that and decided to let it go. But yes, it's
Carl,
true.
That was my point.
Yeah,
Carl, are you
no,
actually
right.
listening in Sun City right now?
I am listening in Sun City, and I have been, and I just enjoy hearing the weather reports.
Well, that's very nice. Thanks for rubbing it in. I appreciate it very much. Over to Judy in Woodstock. Judy.
Hi. I wanted to let the person in Rosendale know that Dr. Howard Rothstein in Saugerties does animal acupuncture.
Oh,
all right.
Excellent. Do they do house calls, you know?
I doubt that.
Mm. Okay.
Well, that might
but
be
to... they're pretty easy to get in to see. He's very good.
Good.
Well, thanks, yeah, Judy. Sweet. I appreciate that one. And now to Mark in Poughkeepsie. Mark.
Oh, hi. Hi, thank you. This is for the cat whisperer.
Ah.
I'm a professional poinsettia grower here in Poughkeepsie. And we have two cats that are about 12 years old, Coco and Chanel, their names are.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
They've been living here in the greenhouses for 12 years. And they don't seem to be having any problem with their health. I just wondered what if you could give me an opinion or some answers about cats and poinsettias.
The known hazard plant, right, this time of the year. They always say keep cats sort of like Easter lilies and poinsettias.
Really?
They should not be around.
Why?
Cats. Well, the lilies for
the
sure
lilies
cause
really bad,
really
yeah.
bad kidney problems. The poinsettias, if I remember or believe, it is more a gastroenteritis.
Right.
They'll just cause them to vomit. And I think your two cats are smart enough to know better.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't seem to be eating them. But,
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would be the concern.
Yeah, the lilies are definitely the big...
Yeah, the lilies, I have to remind everyone about that.
Huh.
Very
It doesn't
toxic.
Take a lot, too, to...
Right.
Permanently injure their kidneys?
Yes, they kill them.
Oh, yes.
Man, okay. Yeah. Well, Mark, good luck and congratulations on your poinsettia-proof cats. Quickly now to Anthony. Anthony in Kingston, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Ray. Listen, I wanted to tell the people that lost the cat, because I had a cat 15 years. He died. I had him put to sleep July 9, 2013, 6 years ago, and a friend of mine suggested to get another cat. I didn't think much of it at first, but I bought Veronica. I have her 6 years now. 4 days later, on the 13th of July, 2013, and I didn't love her at first like I loved Tigger, the first cat that I had, but I worried about her, so it got my mind off the old cat. In other words, I was worried about her using a box and eating and stuff like that, so I was able to get my mind off the cat that I had 15 years that died.
Yeah.
So, you know, it worked for me, you know.
It does work for some people, and I think everybody has a, you know, their own unique grieving process. And for some people it takes years, other people it takes days. Some people get their new pet before their old one has even died, just so that there's a buffer. And I'm glad
Good
that worked
points.
For you. And I think that would probably be my approach also.
Anthony, thanks a lot.
Filled
Very
gap.
Quickly, we only have about a minute here, but let's go to Ellie in Del Mar. Ellie, you only have 30 seconds for your question.
Okay, I have a concern about a barn cat that lives up here in the Northeast, and just wondering if there is such a thing as a barn cat.
Oh, yeah, there
that
is.
That has to live in the cold, you know, in a cold barn. Is that really humane?
There are thousands of
yeah.
them.
Yes, there are.
Maybe tens of thousands.
It is a very common thing we see. And, you know, as long as they are able to keep away from the wind and the elements, the rain, the snow, and they like straw, too. That tends to be the one common thing that if you talk with any of the trap, neuter, return people that work with the feral cats, that is a great environment. You just give them a little area where, and I grew up on a farm and we had the hayloft and they just loved it in there. And they can survive many low temperatures. So
and it's funny, sometimes you get them to come inside. I mean, depends on the cat.
On the cat, right, yeah. exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for being here today. Support comes from Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting Rosenwald, a film about Julius Rosenwald building over 5,000 schools, March 24th at Skidmore College, 518-584-8730. Homemade Theater presenting It's a Wonderful Life weekends December 13th through 22nd at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org for details. Once again, thanks to Dr. Susan Zakuli and Dr. Chris Dallas for being here today. Thank you for listening. Tremendous calls today. Really well done. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your phones are answered by Ed Rosen. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the program, Gordon Fricke will be back. He'll diagnose your automotive troubles, and that's always fun and informative. Tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for 51%.